Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Such a sweet presence of the Lord in the house. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all are happy to have Nathan and Brittany with us this week up from Florida? I can't thank you guys enough for being here. They truly have become family to me. Brittany's family has been my family for a long time because her dad was mine and Amanda's youth pastor growing up. But more so than that, he became a spiritual father to me who is... He's given me words of correction when I needed it. He's asked me hard questions, and he's just always been there when I needed him. And so they've become family to me, and we're so blessed to have them up from Florida this weekend. And hopefully, as I said prophetically at the beginning of service, they'll be back with us at some point. I just believe it in Jesus' name. All right, so we started a new series last week that is called The Word of God Is. The Word of God Is. And really, this is a series about the Bible and all that it is to us on a spiritual level, okay? And last week, we started with sort of an introduction, and I kind of mentioned this, but I'm just going to be upfront with you and honest. I originally planned on starting this series with the topic that I'm actually going to preach today. But when I sat down and started making notes for that first sermon in this series... all this other stuff just started bubbling out of me. It started coming out, and I knew the Lord was shifting the things that I was going to say last week, and so I just complied, and I went with what He was leading me in, because I've learned over time His ways are better than my ways, amen? And so He knows better than I do, and so when He starts leading me in a different direction, I just follow. Because if I try to do things my own way, I know I'm just going to mess them up royally. So last week we started out this series, and this is what we said. I'll go over those 3 points. We said the first point was the Word of God is holy. It's holy, which means it is different than any other book. And we talked about that. But we also said that the Word of God is settled, which means we don't actually get to pick and choose what we like and use it and then dismiss what we don't like and not pay attention to it. It's not a pick-and-choose scenario, but His Word is settled, amen? And lastly, we said that the Word of God is a mirror, okay? So we open up this Bible, and we read it, and when we read it and we open it up and we take it in, it reveals Jesus to us, right? The one in whose image we are made. And so just like a mirror, it reveals to us the things that are in our lives that should be there, the things in our lives that should not be there, and then some things that may be out of order and out of place in our life. And just like you do when you look, when we look into a physical mirror, like maybe you did before you came to church today, we make adjustments, right? We fix that hair that's out of place. I fixed several of them this morning, right? Just like this. Right? Or we adjust our clothing. We adjust, ladies, we adjust our makeup. We tease those unwanted hairs or shave, and we do all these things, but we make adjustments. So as we do that, as we read the Bible, it's a mirror, and we need to be doing that spiritually. And the more we do that, the more we are conformed more and more to His image, right? We move from one level of glory to the next, and I just want to say, it's a beautiful thing to want to look and to be more and more like Jesus. Amen? That's who we're called. Christians, we should be Christ-like. So we should want to be more and more like Christ. Okay, so today we're going to talk on this topic. And the topic today is the Word of God is bread. The Word of God is bread. It is our spiritual bread. And we're going to jump right into it. And I'll go ahead and give you my first point. If you're making notes, if not, you can look. I don't mention this enough, but if you got the church app, you can open your church app And you can go to Sermon Notes, and it has all these points in there, and you can make digital notes on there and email it to yourself. So if you want to follow along with the church app and have your notes already kind of the main points on there, you can make notes on that. So it's uploaded every week before you ever get here. So point one is this: the Word of God is our daily bread. It's our daily bread. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." So that's the Old Testament. You flip over, you go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. This is where Jesus is talking with his disciples. And he's telling them what we call the Lord's Prayer, because they'd ask him, "Hey, teach us to pray." And he said, "When you pray, pray like this." This is Matthew 6, verses 9 through 11 that I'm going to read. It's not the whole prayer, just to where a point to verse 11, a point I want to make. So he says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day..." What? Our daily bread. Our daily bread. Now, yes, I do believe that this is talking about provision in this prayer, daily provision. But since the Word of God is bread, and I'm going to show you where it tells us the Word of God is bread. But since it is, could it be that God wants to give you a daily word from Him, because He's already rained it down from heaven? He's already rained it down from heaven. But here's the kicker. It is our duty to go out every day and gather it, just like the Israelites did, the manna in the wilderness. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to do anything like that by any means. But how many here this morning gathered your daily bread before you even came here? All right? You didn't have to raise your hands, but some did, okay? Okay? Were you just expecting me to feed you? Throw it out at you? Now listen, I think it's great that you come here, and you come here to receive, and I'm going to throw as much bread as I can at you, just like Lambert's. Anybody ever been to Lambert's? Home of the throne rolls. They throw that bread at you. You just throw your hand up, and they'll throw a roll at you. Anybody ever been there? Listen, y'all got to go to Lambert's. You just throw your hand up in there, and they'll toss one across the restaurant at you. You just catch it, and, right? So I'll throw as much bread at you as I possibly can, but I can guarantee you this: you're not going to get enough bread in this one service to last you all week. You need to start to gather some daily bread. Now, we all get busy. Anybody here feel like you're just busy a lot of the time? Right? Wow, just three of us. I'm glad the rest of y'all are just coasting through. Anybody feel busy a lot of the time? Okay. Now, I'm not someone who has breakfast every day. Actually, most days I do not have breakfast unless I have breakfast planned for a specific purpose with someone. I don't eat it. And that's most days. But by lunchtime every day, I'm usually pretty hungry, right? And so at lunchtime is when I normally have my first meal. But there are days that I get so busy and I got so much going on and I got to get from one place to another and I get distracted and I don't even eat lunch. And now that's not most days, but that has happened many times. And on those days that I've skipped both breakfast and lunch, by 3 and 4 o'clock, I'm starting to feel weak. I'm starting to feel a little shaky, right? I hold my hand up and it'll be like jittering on me. I start to feel a little famished. I can even get like a headache, a hungry headache, right? I may even get a little hangry and irritable, all because I have not ate and I'm malnourished. And let me tell y'all, y'all don't even want to be around Amanda if that has happened to her. Now, she'll be happy if she gets something good to eat, right? That's what she does right there. Some people have witnessed that. She'll do it a little jig. But if we don't eat, we start to feel tired. We start to feel yucky. We start to feel weak. And I think a lot of us feel tired and yucky and weak spiritually because we haven't been eating our daily bread. Our daily bread. Here's a good scripture that the Lord gives us on daily. Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah." Okay? I would love for every single one of us to make a commitment to read the Bible every day. And it's easier for all of us to do right now than it's ever been. Because they've not only is it just a book, but they've digitalized it. So you can have it right there on your phone, your tablet, your computer. They've made it real easy for you to be able to read the Word of God. It is the first thing that I do every day, every morning. My phone sits on a nightstand beside our bed. That's where it charges. I wake up in the morning. I reach over. I unplug my phone. I grab it. I open the Bible app. And I read my daily Bible verse, okay? But that's not daily bread. That's a crumb, okay? That's just a crumb. So that's not my personal reading time. I have study time, and I have personal reading time. But I then open up the app to where I was reading the day before, and at minimum, I get one chapter in. Most of the time, I get 2 to 4. But at minimum, I get one chapter in of the Word of God to start my day. I did it this morning. And I'm telling you, there's no better way to start off your day than with some spiritual nourishment, right? If you start your day off reading the Bible first, guess what you're doing? You're having your spiritual breakfast. And it's the best breakfast you can have. And I'll make a deal with you. I'll tell you what. If you'll read the Bible for 30 days, and at the end of those 30 days, if you're not fully satisfied, I'll have Steve give you your money back. Now, a lot of people will ask, well, Pastor Andrew, what version of the Bible am I supposed to read? Right? There's so many versions out there. There's so many. I don't even know what to read anymore. And I wanted to take a minute this morning and talk about that so maybe we all have a better understanding of it, okay? So for the most part, there are two different types of translations. There are actually three. I'm going to give you the two main ones. There's a third that is a paraphrase, and I'm not totally against the paraphrase. It's just not my favorite thing because it adds a lot to things. But there, for the most part, there are two different types of translations. There is something called an exact equivalency translation, which is actually just a word-for-word translation. So what that translation does is it goes back to the original Greek and the Hebrew text of the Bible, right? And it translates it to English words, word for word, to the best of their ability. And I say to the best of their ability because a lot of these Hebrew and Greek words had multiple meanings. And so it's good to go and look at those. So that's why I like word for word, okay? So an exact equivalency translation is really what I preach from week to week for the most part. When I'm up here and I'm reading scriptures like I was today, I'm giving it to you from the New King James Version or an English Standard Version. Those are the two main versions I use for the exact equivalency, okay? If you're wanting to do an actual study in the Bible, and you want to do a deep dive into Scripture, I always recommend doing an exact equivalency translation because what you can do with exact equivalency is you can go back with those study Bibles and you can get something called a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance or, you know, there's several others I use as Strong's. And you can find the exact Greek or Hebrew word that's used in that text. And you can look at all of its definitions and what that Greek or Hebrew word meant on many, many levels, okay? So that's what you can do with an exact equivalency. So if you're doing a study, that's what I recommend. The New King James Version, English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible. Those are probably my top three exact equivalency that are really great Bibles. The other type of translation is called a dynamic translation. Now, Dynamic translations are not word for word, okay? But rather what it does is it actually takes and it translates the thought or the phrase of the verse. So if you're reading to try to understand and really comprehend what has been said and what was going on, then a dynamic translation is great. It just simplifies and it helps the reader understand because it's translating based upon the entire thought of the verse. One of mine and Amanda's favorite dynamic translations is the New Living Translation. Matter of fact, I give out New Living Translations to a lot of new converts because it just puts it in a way where people can understand it better, okay? The NIV, the Message are probably two of the most popular dynamic translations that there are. Now, the dynamic translations, sometimes they get a bad reputation because people will say, I've heard it said, well, they left out this word or they left out that word, okay? Well, that's because it's not an exact word-for-word translation. It's not exact equivalency. It is only translating the thought to help you better understand what was being said. So I think a dynamic translation is great if you're just trying to read and understand and get a feel of what's going on. The best way I can really describe that between the two translations is if I were to ask my sons how their day was, and then if I were to ask Amanda a question about her day. And I'm just going to give you an example so you can better understand. So if I asked Evan or Elisha, even if it was after school or regardless, just how was your day? Their response is going to sound something like this. Good. Is aight. It was fire. That's fire. It's real short. It's simple. It's to the point. That's more like an exact equivalency translation, right? Now, a dynamic translation is more like a response I would get from Amanda when I ask her about her day, right? I could say, Amanda, well, in the end of the day, get together at the evening. How was your day? And I may get something like this. Not maybe all the time, but I would get something like this. Well, Andrew, I woke up at 7:30, and I only had 15 minutes to shower, wash my hair, dry it, put on makeup, get on clothes, and get to work. By the time I got to work, I had to run in because I was running late. And also, there was this wasp that was swarming around the bushes, and I was afraid it was going to sting me. And if you would have been there, you would have been dead meat because, boy, you know that you're allergic to wasps. Right? The rest of the day was kind of slow, but I did get payroll done. But there was this one person that walked in. They came in looking for a job, and you would not believe everything they've been through, the stories they told us, if I told you all of them. Terry left for lunch around 11 o'clock. Right about the time she walked out, I was looking out the window, and there was a glare off a car that drove by, and it gave me a headache, right? But it only lasted for a little bit, and when she got back, I went to Taco House. I finished the day strong, so overall, it was a good day, right? That's a dynamic translation. You see the point I'm trying to make? Some's word for word. It builds upon everything that happened. So does that make sense to everybody? Here's my biggest desire. My biggest desire and my biggest want for all of us is this. Read the Bible. Read the Bible because it is your daily bread spiritually. Okay, so number one is our daily bread. Here's number two. The Word of God is our sustaining bread. It's our sustaining bread. So not only is it our daily bread, but it is our sustaining bread. We get a word from it every day, but it helps sustain us. Let me ask you something. How many times have you maybe read something in the Bible, and then later in that day, something happened throughout that day, and you thought, oh, man, that's why I read that earlier today. Anybody, that happened to anybody? That's happened to me a lot, right? Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, now when the tempter, when Satan came to him, that him being Jesus, the tempter said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now remember, Jesus had just been on a fast for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. So he was hungry, right? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I just want to reiterate something that I said last week. If the Bible were just some words on a page, or if it was just some great work of historical literature, then why did Jesus himself use it to overcome temptation and defeat Satan? Because three times we have where he is tempted by Satan, the devil himself, and Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I'm going to tell you something. You can quote Shakespeare, you can quote Socrates and all these other great philosophers all the time, all day long, all night long, and it will not help you defeat Satan, but God's word will. Amen? Somebody praise him. So Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is just confirming that the Bible is the word of God, is our spiritual nourishment. It sustains us. And Jesus is actually quoting just an interesting fact. When you don't hear it preached out of a lot, the book of Deuteronomy, right? But every time Jesus was tempted, when he said it is written, he quoted the book of Deuteronomy all three times. And when he said this about bread alone, this is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. I'm just going to read it to you. So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So we need food to sustain our natural bodies. Would you agree with me on that? We need that, right? So let me say this. We need spiritual food to sustain our spiritual body, okay? Let me say it this way. There are a lot of Christians who are starving and are dying from spiritual malnutrition because they're not eating the Word of God. It's sustaining bread. It's sustaining bread. Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. In other words, why do you spend your time on things that are not actually feeding you spiritually? Why do you spend it? Why are you wasting? You're wasting it. He says, listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. That's the word of God. Why? So your soul can delight itself in abundance, right? Job chapter 23, verse 12. He said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than necessary food. He's saying the physical food I'm eating, this is more important. His words are more important because it's my spiritual nourishment. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then, right? After you meditate on it day and night, you take it in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? This is very popular, Joshua 1, 9, right? It's on a lot of decorations and hats and clothes. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this says, if we are meditating on his word, if we're taking in his word day and night, and we're actually applying that to our lives, then there's a stipulation. If we're doing this, then what will happen? This is the word of God. It's settled, remember? Then you will make your way prosperous. And when it says it will make your way prosperous, it's not just talking about finances. I think that's included, but it's not secluded to that. But you'll be prosperous in your marriage, in your family, at your job, in all areas of life. You'll be prosperous and have success. Now, if this tells us that reading God's word every day can do that for us, then really what is the most important thing we could be taking in every day? I can tell you what it's not. It's not that Facebook or Instagram post. It's not that tweet, right? It's not anything that you can find scrolling endlessly on social media. It's not anything you can find on the ESPN app, sports news, or any kind of world events or current events. I'm not saying it's not good to read and be up to date, but it's not the most important thing, and we act like it is. We really act like social media is. It's the only thing. We sit there, we'll spend hours scrolling, reading people's posts, and we never pick up the Word of God. The Word of God is our sustaining bread. It's our sustaining bread. All right, here's my third and final point today. Word of God's our daily bread. Word of God's our sustaining bread. Now, the Word of God is our true bread. It's our true bread. So what does that mean by saying it is our true bread? Now, remember, we started out reading from Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, and it talked about manna, which the word manna actually means, what is it? Because the Israelites didn't know what it was. They came out and they saw it, and they said, manna, manna, what is it? What is it? And so that's the name it got, but it was bread from heaven, right? What is it? So they had this manna, which was bread from heaven. God provided for them in the wilderness. Now watch what Jesus says here. John chapter 6, I'll start with verse 31. We'll go to 35. It says, this is the Pharisees actually talking to Jesus. They say, our fathers ate the manna, the bread from heaven, in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. He didn't say it wasn't bread from heaven. It was, but it wasn't the bread from heaven, the true bread, right? But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. They'll never hunger and thirst again spiritually, right? Now, I'm just going to keep giving you a lot of scripture here because I'm going to make a point. I'm going to tie it all together, okay, I'll get close to closing here in a minute. Same chapter, John chapter 6, skip down to verse 48. We'll go to verse 51. Jesus talking again, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. They're dead, right? This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the living Word, okay? John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. This is talking about Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about Jesus, we know, right? John 3:16, he gave his only begotten Son. He's the only begotten one. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Okay? Now let me tie all this together. I'm going to use a scripture I used last week. Luke 24, 27. This is Jesus talking to disciples on the road to Emmaus. Nathan, you can come. Right? It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, talking about all the Old Testament, Jesus, he expounded to them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So why don't we just read all that, all right? All those verses, right? I read all that to show you that when you read the Bible, when you read this word, you are actually taking in Jesus. It's all about him. That's what he opened and showed them. He's like, look, all the way from beginning to this very point, and what will be written afterwards, it's all about me. So when we open this word and we're taking in Jesus. We're taking in the living word who through the Holy Spirit inspired the written word. Right? He said, all of this is about me. So when we take it in, we're taking in the living, true bread. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, one of the main, listen, I know that his sheep know his voice. So he still speaks to his people. He didn't speak to Moses and all the prophets and then everybody else in the New Testament and just stop speaking. He still speaks to us. I was talking in our Remnant Connect class today. Prayer is not just us communicating with God. It's stopping, taking a moment and listening and let God communicate and speak to you. So he still speaks to his people, right? But one of the main ways you can take in the words of Jesus, we have it recorded what he said. One of the main ways you can take it in is just simply by reading his word. The living word integrated himself into the written word. He inspired it. So when you take it in, you're taking him in. The more you read this book, the more and more you take in Jesus into your heart and life. You get to know him better. The only way you get to know somebody better is by spending time with them. I didn't just meet men and say, hey, baby, let's get married. No, we spent time together. 3 years. She never lets me forget. She said, I almost waited too long. Dated her 3 years. Had to make sure. But the more you spend time with somebody, the more you get to know them. The more you spend time with him, the more you get to know him. Think about this. We have the key to everything. We have the secret to how miracles and signs and wonders come about. We talked about Larry being a miracle. Well, we know where the miracle came from because we have his word. We have God's autobiography, not biography, but autobiography. Because he inspired every word. So we have the words of eternal life. And the answer to all of life's problems and issues is found in this book. And yet it is a book that many times collects dust in our homes, on our shelves, on our tables, on our nightstands, and we never pick it up and read it. It's an app that is easily accessible on our phone, our tablet, our computer, and we never really truly open it and read it and take it in and eat the word. But I can guarantee you this. If you will make a commitment to read his word, I can guarantee you this. It will change your life. It will change your life. I want to tell you a story. That's how I'm going to close. I worked for a Honda dealership for 15 years. Met all kind of people. Still have great friends. From that dealership and my time spent there, and a lot of people that came like family, like me, for me, and I cherish those moments. I still tell stories about it, but I got to meet a lot of people. I worked in several departments. I started out there straight out of high school, just as a valet, and I just worked hard and worked my way up into management. But I remember when I got into the parts department. I was a manager back there, and we had an employee, and this young man, he was just severely depressed. Great guy, just severely depressed, and we were there early one morning, and I opened. It was just he and I back there. We were checking and scanning in some parts. I got there early, and he was supposed to be there. He was already scanning parts. I went back there just to talk with him. And You know, there was a lot of people that probably gave me a hard time at that dealership different times, and they would aggravate me because they knew what I stood for, they knew what I believed, and they'd try to get me to slip up. You know, they would intentionally try to do it. They would test me. But I can tell you this, anytime hell hit their life, they come to me and say, "Hey, come here. Would you pray for this?" But I was back there in the back. I was just being a friend to this young man, and all of a sudden he began to open up to me. He said, "Man," he said, "I'm so depressed." He said, "I've been to the doctor multiple times. I'm on all these different types of medications." And he said, "It numbs me for a little bit, but it all wears off, and nothing's helping me." And this guy was a self-proclaimed atheist, right? He didn't believe in God at all. And he said, "But I'm so depressed, and I don't know what to do." And I just listened to him for a while, and then I said, "I want you to do me a favor." I said, I know you know what I believe, right? And I know what you say you believe. I said, "But I'm gonna give you a challenge." I said, "I want you, if you got a Bible, to read it every day for the next 30 days. Just every day. I challenge you to do it." He said, "I'm not a reader. I don't read." I said, "All right. You ain't gonna get out of it that easy." I said, "Give me your phone." I downloaded an app, an audio Bible app, and I said, "When you're driving or whenever you're just doing whatever, you got headphones in, earpods in, just let the Bible read to you. Let it read to you. Just take it in. Take it in." I said, "You've tried everything else." I told him, I said, "Start in the book of Psalms. That's where I want you to start." I said, "You've tried everything else. You say it's not working. Just give this a try. Just try it." He said, I don't know, man. I don't know." I let it be. I'm going to tell you this. It was about 3 weeks later. He comes walking through that parts department, and he's just got earpods in. He's just bebopping along. Just like this big smile on his face, just almost like skipping. He's got such a pep in his step. And I stop him. I say, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He takes his ear pod out, and I could hear it. The Bible was being read to him. He said, man, I don't know how to explain it. He said, "But I just thought, all right, I'll try it. Why not?" He said, "I've been listening to this on my way to work, on my way home, throughout the day, as I'm working. I just got them in, and he said, "I can't explain it, but I don't feel depressed anymore." And he said, "It worked." And I said, "I know, because it did the same thing for me. I can't explain how it works." Right? How we talked about scientifically last week. I can't explain how everything works. I just know that God's word works because it is settled and it is powerful and it is life-giving. It is nourishment. It is our daily bread. It is the true living bread. And it can change your life if you let it. I want everybody to stand with me. I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the living word who came, who bled, who died, who suffered for the sins of humanity, who conquered death, hell, and the grave because on the third day he rose with resurrection power. I thank you for the living word, and I thank you, God, that you took the time to inspire the written word. So we could take it in. I thank you that it's our daily bread. I thank you that it's our sustaining bread. I thank you that it is our true living bread. And I thank you, God, that it is available. You've made it completely available to all who would eat. So I pray, God, that we would develop a hunger like we've never had before. Give us a hunger for your word. a hunger for more of you. That we would take more and more of you in each and every day. Each and every day. Just every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you don't mind. Just out of honor and respect for other people. You know, we had a young lady at the beginning of the service said she her favorite part of youth was is when she truly got saved. She'd been around it, but she truly, really gave her heart to the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly, really given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you know all about there is to know about Him, but you don't really personally know Him and have a personal relationship with Him. If that's you this morning, I want you to know you have an opportunity to come into relationship with Him. So if that's you, and you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved, but I want to come into relationship with Him this morning. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm saved, but I'm just not as close to the Lord as I have been in the past. I kind of have been distracted, kind of got veered off, and I just know I'm not as close as I used to be. Doesn't mean you're not saved anymore, but you just got kind of gotten off track. You say, but I need to get back on track today. I want to make a commitment to do that. Would you, if that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, there was something in this sermon really hit home. It didn't have to be everything, but there was something that spoke to you about taking in your daily bread, about having sustaining bread, about the true living bread, whatever it may be. And you say, there's some things I need the Lord to work on in my life. I need to make a commitment to start taking in that word. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Yeah. Y'all look at me. You know, that's not out of condemnation or anything like that. It's like, well, you're not reading your word. No, this is where we get better together. Right? This is not a place, I promise you, this is not a place where you're gonna be judged. This is a place where we're gonna come walk alongside of you. And I can guarantee you every single person in this room, including myself, we all got faults. And we can all do better. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, right? If He's speaking to you, you know, I've been getting my daily bread. But honestly, when I was making these notes, this Holy Spirit convicted me and said, you take in sometimes more social media than you take in my word. And we need to tip the scales out of balance the other direction. And so He speaks to me. I preach to myself before I ever preach to you. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in any capacity, maybe you raised your hand, or maybe you should have raised your hand and you didn't. That's okay. As Nathan and Brittany began to sing, I just want you to come. Come spend some time with Him. Come communicate with Him, and then give Him time to answer and communicate to you, speak to your heart. Grow in your relationship with Him. So they're getting ready to sing. I just want everybody to say this prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And as He speaks, respond. Respond. So as they sing, would you come? Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.